Praise God. I was sitting there thinking while they were singing all those nice things that Pastor Shakur said about me. I wouldn't have my church. I wouldn't have my wife. I wouldn't have my children. I wouldn't have my life if it were not for him. I owe him everything. He paid a debt he did not owe because I owed a debt I could not pay. Oh, everything that I have is because of him. If it's good, the Bible says that all good things come from above. From the Father of lights, amen. Those things that are good in this life come from God. You know, Jesus said that to that rich young ruler. He said, why callest thou me good? Because you can't get good without God. Amen. The actual word itself, the Anglo-Saxon word good, comes from the word God. And it's true that every good thing we have, we owe it all to him. It's a blessing to be here tonight. I was telling someone earlier, back before I was saved, I sang for the devil. I didn't sing for the Lord, and I sang in a number of rock bands around the East Coast and played music in those bands, and I was always the opening act. Never good enough to be the main act. So I'm used to it, brother. Amen. I fit right in. I understand why you picked me now to be the opening act. By the way, I want to ask, how many of you have been here every night of Jubilee so far? Raise your hand. All right. Wow. Full. Every one of you. Wow. What a blessing. I was thinking, Brother Shakur, of a fellow that went with his friends out to a restaurant one night. And when he arrived at that restaurant, the man at the front stopped him. Said, you can't come in. He said, well, why not? He said, and he pointed down. He said, what? And then he pointed at a sign that said, you have to have a tie in order to enter in to this fancy restaurant. They won't let you in without a tie. He said, you don't have a tie. Every one of the men in your party has a tie, but you can't come in. The man said, well, does it matter what kind of tie I have on? He said, no, don't matter what kind of tie it is. He said, all right, I'll be right back. Went out to his car, popped the trunk, got the jumper cables out. Took the jumper cables, wrapped around his neck, tied it to a little knot, had the jumper cables hanging down, walked right up to that fellow and said, well, how about now? Can I come in? That fellow said, all right, smart guy, you can come in, but don't start anything. Well, I hope to start something, amen. I'm here at the start of Jubilee, and it is a great privilege to be here. And I'm kind of breaking protocol, as it were. Usually when you are invited to a meeting like this, you preach a message that you preached at least once before. But I'll be preaching a message tonight that I've never preached before. And so you'll be the first to hear this message first on the first night of Jubilee. And when you hear what the message is about, you'll see how that's very appropriate. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Again, I thank your pastor and I thank the church for allowing me to be a part of this Jubilee. And I don't know if you always do this, if this is your normal practice, but how about let's all stand for the reading of the scripture tonight. We've been sitting for a little while, and at least this way, I will know that you were awake when I started. And we're just going to read one verse, but keep your Bibles open because we will be referring to some other verses. And I am known to talk a little fast, and so I'll try not to talk too fast. But if I refer to some verses and keep on moving, you might want to flip over there and find out what I was talking about. But we're just going to read one verse to start off with in the book of Judges, chapter 20, verse number 18. The Bible says, and the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God. That's a good place to go, amen? Amen. And asked counsel of God. That's a good thing to do. When you go to the house of God, that's what you should do. And said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said something he had already said earlier in this book. We'll talk about that. And he had said it to them even once before that. They should have already known the answer. But God reminded them again, Judah shall go up first. Judah shall go up first. Now, most of you Bible scholars here tonight know already that Judah, the fourth born son of Jacob's name, means praise. And by the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on the subject, Send Judah First. Before you do anything else, God says, send praise. Send Judah first. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful for your goodness and your grace and all that you have given us, but we are still a needy people. And we need your touch tonight. We need your help, and we need to hear from heaven what you have to say to our hearts. So, Lord, I pray that you would touch my lips with hot coals from off of your altar, that you would do what I cannot do, but that you would speak to each and every heart, using me just as a vessel and an instrument in your mighty hand. And we praise you in advance, already now, first, for what you are going to do. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Some years ago, I was reading of a conference that was held in the Midwest. And at this conference, they handed out to everyone in attendance a helium-filled balloon. And written on that balloon in great big letters was the word praise. P-R-A-I-S-E. Praise. And the special speaker for that conference said, when you think of something to give God glory for, something to praise God for, when God gets a hold of your heart, you think of something to glorify Him over, let go of your balloon. Just when you think it's the right time. And then they did this and they did that, and it went on for a while. And then at the close of that conference that day, 2/3 of the people still had their balloons in their hands. Many of them looked around and realized that they had held on to that balloon the whole time, and so out of guilt, they went ahead and let it go at the end, after it was already over, proving that they really didn't recognize how praise really works. Here in our text, we are told something that we are told throughout the Word of God, and that is this: whether it be tithing, or whether it be singing or praising before a preaching, that God comes first. The very first commandment, God first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto you. Elijah did something that I wouldn't have done. Now, my birthday was yesterday. Last Saturday, I turned 29 years old in the Lord. I know I don't look a day over 28 years old in the Lord. 29 years I've been saved by the grace of Almighty God. I've got a birth I can't remember and a birth I can't forget. The first time I was born, my mama had to tell me all about it. But the second time I was born, I had to tell my mama all about it. First time I was born a child of a keener. But the second time I was born a child of the King. Amen. But yesterday I turned 29 again. For the 19th time, Brother May. Amen. I turned 29 years old. And I was kind of a little poochy lipped, you know, because the whole day went by. No cake. I want a piece of cake. I didn't want to, you know, tell anybody I want a piece of cake, but I want a piece of cake. And well, we had a ladies' meeting last night, and I was invited to the ladies' meeting. I said, well, they ain't got cake, but they're going to a seafood restaurant. I'll get something. And guess what? They had a cake. Amen. They surprised me with a cake for my birthday. But Elijah, he went into this widow's house, I mean, making her last meal, and this was his advice to her. How about make me a cake first? Can you ladies imagine if Brother Shakur came over to your house, or Brother Varnell, whoever your pastor is, came over and said, oh, y'all starving? Nothing to eat? Don't know what you're going to do next? Well, just scrounge together whatever you got and make me my favorite meal. Some of you would think, yeah, that sounds like him. Amen. That's Brother Renfro's like that. Amen. I mean, but that's what he did. Why would he do that? Because he was again saying what God has said over and over again, and that is, if you put God first, you'll last. If we put God first in any area, we'll last. God will bless us. And if you go back, you'll see in Genesis chapter 29 that Leah, when she was giving birth to this son, the fourth born son, she decided that this time she wasn't going to lament the lack of love that she was receiving from Jacob. But this time she said it's going to be different. She didn't moan and bemoan like she had done for Reuben and the others. She said, no. She said, this time's going to be different. She said, I'm not going to lament my lack of love that I'm receiving from my husband. Instead, I'm going to proclaim my love for the Lord. And these are her words in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 35. She says, now will I praise the Lord. And the Bible says, therefore she called his name Judah. Judah, praise. He was the fourth, but she put God first. By the way, I hope that you put God first on the fourth. I like it when July the 4th falls on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Amen. And I like it. I'm patriotic, but we've got to be careful. It ain't about Uncle Sam. Amen. It's about the great I am. Amen. And I like the stars and stripes, but if we leave out the scars and the stripes that were laid upon his back, then we have missed the real meaning. And we need to put God first in everything. I don't want to get too controversial here, but sometimes churches cancel services on holidays when oftentimes those holidays are supposed to be all about Jesus. That's when we should put God first, not last, not in second place. In Genesis chapter 49, prior to his death, I'm preaching a series on Wednesday nights at our church on the judgment seat of Jacob. That's why this is fresh on my mind. And Jacob talked to every one of his boys, and he not only told them about their near future, but their far future. He prophesied. The Bible said he talked about the last days. There are things that took place throughout the centuries that he prophesied that were to come. And there are some things that still haven't taken place, but they're going to take place because God gave him prophecy. And when he got to Judah, he had a lot of good to say to Judah. Now, Judah had messed up just like Reuben. He had messed up just like some of his brothers. But one thing about old Judah, when he messed up, he fessed up. He had blessing put upon him, and he pronounced a blessing and a prophesy. And he said, Judah, you ain't the oldest, but you're going to be the leader. So he said, you're going to be the leader. You're going to be the one that is strong. And he talked more. He had a lot of words to say about him, and I'll get to some of that in a few minutes. But he said, you're going to be the leader. You're going to be the ruler. You're going to be the one that's going to go forth, and from you Shiloh shall come, and you're going to be the leader. That's in Genesis. By the time we get to Numbers chapter 2 and verse 9, the very first sending of the first of Judah is when Israel broke camp, the Bible says, and Judah shall first set forth. That means whenever they broke camp, Judah went first. We already read in Judges chapter 20, but in Judges chapter 1, like I said, this is actually in the book of Judges, the second first. Following the death of Joshua, they didn't know what they were going to do. They again inquired of the Lord and said in Judges 1 and verse 1, who shall go up for us against this time the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah. Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself there. But then again, he says in our text, send Judah first. Send Judah first. And Judah means praise. In other words, he says, don't wait until after it's over. See, that's the mistake that we make when it comes to praise. We think that we're supposed to wait until it's after or done or after it's all, and then we'll praise God. Well, if God answers my prayer, then I'll praise him. No. Send Judah first. Go ahead and give him the glory. Go ahead and praise the Lord. Give him credit. He's good for it. That's what he says. He says, no. You understand that praise is the voice of our faith. And so when we do say, amen, praise the Lord and hallelujah, while the battle is raging, when it looks like there's no hope, when it seems like we're on the losing side, that's faith. And And that's real praise. And he says, and if you'll send Judah first, if you'll go ahead and give me the glory, give me the gratitude, have the right attitude of adoration toward me, then I'll show up. C.H. Spurgeon said, praise is the rent God requires for his power. Let that sink in for a minute. It's the rent that he requires for his power. And we are called to do the impractical in order for God to do the impossible. See, we look at it with human reasoning. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen. It's seeing the invisible. We want to look at it, don't say, well, let's see how, okay, all right, well, all right, God, I guess that makes sense, so praise the Lord. No, no. It's when we look at it by faith and say, Lord, there's no way we're going to make it without you. Lord, there's just no way unless you do something only you can do. That's faith. And we go ahead and praise him. We go ahead and give him the glory. We go ahead and give him the gratitude. Now, by way of introduction, I do want to say this is for Baptists. Sometimes people say, well, you know, we're Baptists. We don't do all that praising and shouting and all that kind of stuff. Well, John the Baptist, when he heard about the Messiah, he was belly to belly. Elizabeth was belly to belly with Mary. You know what he did? He leapt in his mother's womb. He was already praising the Lord. Amen. He hadn't even been born yet. We that are born again, Baptists, we certainly ought to shout. I believe he'd have run if he'd had enough womb. But the primary priority of praise is paramount. It's preeminent. The Bible says we enter into his courts with praise. We don't exit out. We don't say, boy, that preacher preached a good sermon. That choir sure did sing. Boy, that was a good. No, no, no. We're supposed to go to church that way. We're supposed to walk in going, hallelujah, it's going to be a good service. We're going to praise the Lord. God's going to show up and he's going to move in our midst. That's what we're supposed to do. Enter into his courts with praise. So again, it's the priority. Too many churches are mausoleums of the past instead of coliseums of praise. Living on yesterday instead of today. And tomorrow, looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. A lot of churches think they have reverence when really they have rigor mortis. But again, we are told that whether the weather is sunny or whether the weather is stormy, send Judah first. When the situation has turned terrible, when things have gone bad, we're supposed to be glad. Right. We're supposed to make the choice to rejoice. Because we always have plenty to praise him for. When the prices are up, the income is down, when the rent is due, and your wife is too. Amen. Send Judah first. Before you moan and groan, send Judah first. Prior to the pouting, start doing some shouting, amen. Send Judah first. Go ahead and give God the glory. Before you dial a friend, before you hit send, amen, send Judah first. Go ahead and praise him. And guess what you'll find out? He'll show up. What does he say? He says he inhabiteth. He inhabiteth the praise of his people. He shows up. So I want to talk a few more moments. Do I need to go into overtime? I'm looking for Brother Hamilton. Amen. I want to talk about sending Judah first. Sending Judah first. It's our advance in spite of adversities to go ahead and praise the Lord. And why? Why should we send Judah first? Number one, because sending Judah first. Praise. Because praise brings victory. Praise brings victory. Amen. We've already seen it in our text a little bit. If you don't believe it, you can look and ask Joshua about it. Yeah, well, Joshua, you know the Bible says that Joshua had died and they didn't know what they were going to do. So God said, send Judah first. Well, if they thought about what Joshua had already done, they'd have known that Joshua already put that into practice. God said, go around and around and around as many times as I tell you to. And then after the walls fall, I want you to blow the trumpet and praise and shout. No, no, no. He said, no, no, no. While they're up there laughing at you and mocking you, hey, Look at them bunch of Israelites marching around in circles. Round and round they go. Where they stop, nobody knows. Hey, Wallace, come here. Yeah, Wally, what is it? look at these idiots. I mean, come on, look what they're doing down there. And then after they'd done the seven times and done what God told them to do, they went ahead and blew the trumpet and shouted and praised the Lord for the victory while the walls were still standing tall. That's when Wally and Wallace got a surprise. Because it was after they shouted, after they praised, not after the walls fell, but before the walls fell, that the walls fell. Right. Again, ask Jehoshaphat if you don't believe what Joshua says. Jehoshaphat knew exactly what to do when you don't know what to do. Right. Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he didn't know what to do, so he did what you ought to do when you don't know what to do. Go to God. Right. Sought God's counsel. So God said, here's what you do when you don't know what you want to do or what you need to do. He said, instead of getting your sword blades out, get your song books out. He said, go ahead and praise the Lord. He said, you go ahead. When Judah, and the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, when they, Judah, began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the enemies who had come against Judah, and they were smitten. He said, send the choir in prior. Go ahead and send the choir in. By the way, that's why the choir sings before the preaching. Heard of a fellow one time came to a preacher's meeting. There was a young preacher, and he was a little bit late, and he had missed the singing. And he came in just as the preacher was mounting the pulpit. And he sat down next to an older, wiser preacher. And he said, oh, here. He said, I got here just in time for the best part, the preaching. And that preacher leaned over to him and said, the best part for who? He said, what do you mean? He said, well, the preaching is for us. But the praising is for him. And that's why the choir sings first. Now, Elijah, he didn't have a choir. He went and got Squire Parsons, amen. No, he just called in one minister, amen. He just called in one man. And the Bible says that then, when he came in and ministered by way of song, then the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. So we see this principle. And when you see, when Judah went in for Jehoshaphat, praise not only brought protection, but it brought provision. The people of Judah came to take away the spoil, verse 25 says, in abundance, riches and precious jewels, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoils. It was so much. God gave the victory, and then God gave the victory to them because they gave him priority, and then he gave them the spoil. He gave them the blessings. Do you know what it will do when you bless the Lord? It'll bless you. You know what happens when you lift up the Lord? He lifts you up. I mean, when we get down and out, we need to get in this book, amen. And we need to start reading what it has to say about praise. And we need to say, I don't feel like it. And I'm not where I ought to be, but I'm still going to give God the glory. My pastor used to tell me, he says, when it's hardest to pray, that's when you need to pray the hardest. I think the same principle applies to praise. Don't just stand there and hold a hymn book and hum. Don't just look around and see what everybody else is doing. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Lift up your voice. Sing unto the Lord, the Bible says. We're told time and time again to sing unto the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you're a baritone or a collarbone. It doesn't matter if you're an alto or an alpo. It doesn't matter, amen. You just lift up your voice. Make a joyful noise or a religious racket, amen, unto the Lord. You ain't singing for them. You're singing for him, amen. Yeah. And guess what will happen? Before long, you won't be paying attention to what anybody else says or what they think. Because God will be blessing you because you're blessing him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. God says, you ain't going to win unless you send Judah in. Not going to win unless you send Judah in. Don't send Reuben. Don't send the tribe of Gad, Zebulun, Issachar. Send Judah, Judah, Judah. Not Judy, Judy, Judy for all of you Andy Griffin fans out there. Judah, 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 amen. Send Judah, send praise unto the Lord. And while I'm on that thought, before I move on to my next point, you ever notice that the word praise has at its root the word raise? And it's the idea of raising. The Bible says that it would go into Judah's hand. It's interesting when you look up how many times the Bible tells us to lift up holy hands. They came out, the Bible says, with their hands raised, amen. They came out with a holy hand raised. They came out with a hand raised high. You see, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, how important it is to lift up our hands unto the Lord. Well, when do you lift up your hands? Well, if somebody comes in with a gun, you I give up. Well, maybe in class, some of you, it wasn't me, I was in the back hiding behind you. But some of you, you know, the teacher would say, does anybody know the answer? Ooh, 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 I know. Or maybe you're, you know, pulling out a Chick-fil-A where all them cars are, and you're trying to get out because you can smell them waffle fries. You got to go, you know. And you're like, I'm never going to get out of here in Wilson, the way this traffic is. And somebody stops and they go, what do you do? If your mama raised you right, what do you do? That's what we need to do to the Lord. See, if we want to have victory in our lives, victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we're going to have to throw hands. We're going to have to fight. You know what you do? You say, Lord, I give up. I give up, Lord, I surrender. But I know the answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We raise our hands. We praise. We raise our hands unto the Lord. And we say, thank you. I thank you so much. I surrender. We give him the glory. And God gives us the victory.
That's right. Glory to God.
You say, I just praise God in my heart. Well, good. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is it okay if I preach for just a little bit before I move on to my next point? When I was in Bible college, I got in a conversation with somebody from another Bible college. And he said about us, he said, y'all get too excited over there. Y'all raise your hands and y'all shout and all that. He said, that ain't biblical. Me and another fellow were there and we said, oh, really? He said, well, go home and get out your concordance and your Greek and your Hebrew and get out whatever you need. And look up that word praise. Look it up and see what it means. You'll find out every single time in the Bible it's either verbal or visible or both. You can worship in silence. You can worship in your heart and nobody around you know it, but you can't praise that way. No such thing as silent praise. By the way, he went home and he came back the next day and said, you're right. You're right. No such thing. And people have this idea, well, you know, I'll just keep it quiet, you know. Well, you sing all the time when you sing. If you sing, you sing, you know, when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory. Why wait till you get there? You go ahead and sing and shout the victory right now. By the way, if you don't like shouting, you better go ahead and get used to it. Because you're headed to heaven, amen. You're headed to heaven. Dr. Slater used to say he was going to stand right there by the pearly gate and wait for some of his church members to get to heaven. He said, because I preached to them for 40 years and they sat there like a wooden Indian. He said, but when they cross in, he said, I'm going to see them do what they should have been doing all along. They're going to be shouting and praising and lifting their hands up to the Lord. And he says, I'm going to jump out from behind that pearly gate and say, see, I told you so.
Come on. Yes, amen.
1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory and praise is the voice of faith. In Frederick, Austria, they didn't know what they were going to do. Napoleon's army was camped outside the city, and every other city he'd come to, he had sacked, cities that were bigger and stronger than they. And it was Sunday. And everybody gathered together at a church, wondering what they were going to do. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the preacher finally stood up and said, look, it's the Lord's day. We're in the Lord's house. Let's do what we should do. Let's just go ahead and have church. Let's just go ahead and leave it in the hands of the Lord. Let's just go ahead and praise the Lord. And not only did they have a regular service, but they did something that they always did. They rang the bells of the church. And when they did, other churches in the community, they went to their churches and they said, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to ring our bell too. We're going to ring the bells. And all the churches in that little village rang their bells together.
Amen.
Then they all went to bed expecting the worst, figuring that in the morning, Napoleon's army would be there and it would all be over. But when they woke up in the morning, guess what they saw? No more smoke in the distance. Napoleon's army picked up and left and went the other way. They had been spared. They'd been saved. Nothing had happened, and they didn't find out until later why. The reason was because Napoleon's army heard those bells ringing. And see, people only rang bells in times of victory. People only rang bells when they were rejoicing over something. And they had figured that the Wellington's army on the other side had sent reinforcements. and that the village was rejoicing because they had those reinforcements, so they weren't scared of Napoleon anymore, and they scared Napoleon, his army, and they went the other way. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. And if you want to make the devil uncomfortable, do what makes God comfortable. God says he inhabits the praises of his people. It makes God real comfortable, but it makes the devil real uncomfortable. Right. It's a weapon that we can use. Praise brings victory. Number two, send Judah first because praise brings liberty. You already talked about the Liberty Bell. Leviticus chapter 25 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. Pro, before, ahead of time. Pro, to proceed. And then claim is the idea of either declaring it forth or holding on to it. Both of those things apply. When you proclaim something, you're sending it forth, but you're also saying, I'm claiming it. And again, you're supposed to be doing it ahead of time. You're supposed to be saying, this is mine. This is what I have been given. And I'm already claiming it. You say, oh, you're talking name it, claim it, grab it, blab it. Are you talking some far out there? No, I'm talking about Bible truth. Amen. That's right. That's what faith is. It's a substance of things hoped for. Again, the evidence of things not seen. Paul Bunyan. Y'all remember Paul? John Bunyan. They were probably cousins. I don't know. How many of you know who John Bunyan? Okay, not the one with the ox. Okay, that's Paul. John Bunyan spent 13 years in the Bedford jail for doing what I'm doing tonight. Yes, sir. For preaching the gospel. Yeah. You know what he did? He didn't do what we would have done. He didn't go sit in the corner and pout. He didn't, oh, woe is me. Well, it's always going to happen to me. You know what he did? He took the one stool that he had to sit on. And nowhere else to sit. One stool. Had three legs. He took one of those legs off, said, I'd rather do something else. Took one of those legs off and whittled it down and made a flute out of it. And used it to make music unto the Lord. Praising the Lord. Sort of like somebody else I've heard of named Paul and his buddy Silas. Y'all remember that story? Amen. Acts chapter 16. Thrown in the prison. And I can imagine if it had been like us, you know, Paul would have been saying to Silas, if you hadn't sung that extra song, we'd have been out of here. And I can see Silas going, oh, Mr. Preach all night. You already killed Eutychus. Who else are you trying to kill, you know? If you hadn't preached, if you hadn't went into that fourth point and added that point, we'd have been out of it. No. The Bible says they made midnight melody. Amen. They praised the Lord and the jailhouse really rocked. And the Bible says that when that happened, they were set free. Suddenly there was a great earthquake and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. Again, God gives victory and God gives liberty when we praise the Lord. And you know, public praise, again, public praise, you can praise the Lord at the house by yourself, amen. It'll be out loud if you're doing it right. But when you praise the Lord in public, that gives you liberty. Because if there's one thing praise does, and you see this in the Bible, and I ain't got time to get into it like I'd like to, but the number one weapon against pride is public praise. Well, it's one thing for you to be at the house washing dishes and give God glory, but what about at work? What about when your coworkers are around? All that, you got to die to self to do that. You got to die to self. You got to put that pride to death in order to do that. And when you're in church and God really gets a hold of your heart and you want to raise your hand, you know what your flesh does? Says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. They won't think you're Baptist. They'll think you're Baptist-costal, amen. Keep your hand down. You know what you should do when that happens? Raise it that much higher. Amen. Raise the other one. Amen. Because that's your flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to worship. The flesh doesn't want to praise. Your flesh doesn't want to give God glory. But that's why you need to put that flesh in submission. You need to mortify, therefore, the deeds of the body, the parts of the body. We need to put the flesh to death and be lively stones for the Lord. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, I think I've already said it a couple times, but send Judah first. Put the U in hallelujah. Unless my pastor in Alabama, they said hallelujah. Now, if you're from Hawaii, say hallelujah. I don't know what you say, but say something, amen. You say, where'd you get that from? I got Bible. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And like when they were singing tonight, God got a hold of my heart. Squeezed it a little bit of juice began to run out of my eyes. I was like, I got to get it together. I got to preach. But when God gets a hold of your heart, when God blesses you. Don't hold back. Give it to the Lord. It's an offering unto the Lord. And I'm using a sanctified imagination here, but I don't want to get to heaven and fall on my face before my Lord and glorify Him and say to Him, oh, Lord, I love You. Thank You so much for all that You've done. Lord, You were so good to me. Oh, God, You forgave me. You had mercy upon me. You gave me all these good things. I don't want to say all those things to the Lord and then hear Him say, why didn't You say so? When You were down there on earth, I heard you all right, moaning, groaning, complaining in the mully grubs, your bottom lip dragging gravel up out of the parking lot on your way to church, blaming everybody else. I didn't hear a whole lot of praise. Why don't you just say so? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's right. People say, well, you know, you heard the story before about the man that went to the preacher with his wife. They were having marital difficulties, and the preacher said, well, what's the problem? And his wife said, well, he never tells me that he loves me. The preacher said, well, what's the problem here? And he said, well, preacher, he said, I told her I loved her 30 years ago, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. You know that grandbaby loves you. You got candy. But there's something about hearing it. There's something about hearing it. You want to hear her say. You want to hear him say. You want to hear him call you Papa. You want to hear him say Grandma. You want to feel it. Amen. You want them to show it. You want to see those little chubby arms open, those little hands raised. Amen. You want them to say, pick me up. You want them to be close to you. And the Bible says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. He wants us to be close. He wants to hear us. So praise is never passive. It's always active. And then finally, and the preacher already preached most of this, so now that Brother Charles is here, I can go ahead and close. Amen. I was getting ready to go into overtime. I was going to add another point, brother. Amen. Praise brings victory. So we should send Judah first. Praise brings liberty. So we should send Judah first. And praise brings jubilee. So we should send Judah first. Back in Leviticus chapter 25, and he already read part of this, but the actual whole part of it there together says, a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. He says, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And again, as he already said, what does jubilee mean? Shout for joy. Jubal, the one who invented instruments in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. That's where that comes from, the idea of jubal and praise. What's also interesting is if you look it up and you see all the root words and all that kind of stuff, it's the idea of rah. And it's the idea of hoorah. It's the idea of lifting up your voice when you rejoice. Again, not just going, amen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what a lot of Baptists do. I don't know about here at Tabernacle, but at my church, we got bobbleheads. Bobblehead Baptists. I know I'm really preaching when I see five or six. I'm going, I work on my radio broadcast. I listen to it, and I'm like, it sounds like I'm preaching to an empty room. And I ask some of them, I say, why don't y'all ever say amen? They say, oh, preacher, we do. You just can't hear it. Well, what good is that doing, amen? You want a short sermon, then just say, amen. That's like saying, stick him to a bulldog, amen. Preacher will preach his left lung out in 10 minutes. You get shorter sermons when they're out of breath. It's not a help. It's not a blessing if you can't hear it. And so again, it's the idea of jubilee. It's the idea of lifting up the voice and setting aside time to give unto the Lord. It's the whole idea of putting the Lord first. Yes. You know, I found out, I didn't know this, but the feast of first fruits, you know, is not about, hey, we had a good harvest, let's praise the Lord. No, they did it first. Right. That's why it's called first fruits. They did it before the harvest. They said, God's going to give us a good harvest. Let's go ahead and have a feast. I don't know where they were getting the groceries from, amen. That's the same idea here, as jubilee. It's, again, a time of emancipation and restoration, but it's mostly a time of celebration. This meeting tonight and the meetings this month are called Jubilee for a reason. Because we're supposed to lift up the Lord. We're supposed to give God the glory. We're supposed to praise Him. Jesus said, they criticized the disciples when they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Again, the same root, same idea. They said, shh, be quiet. Put it there. And He said, oh, no. Jesus corrected them. He said, if they stay silent, the stones themselves shout out. Come on. And I don't know about you, but I don't want no rock to do my rejoicing. I don't want no pebble to do my praising, amen. I don't want no stone to do my shouting, amen. I want to give him the glory. I want to lift him up. I want to magnify him. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The best type of evangelism is lifting up the Lord. Amen. You want somebody to listen to you when you witness to them? Then give God the glory.
That's right.
Send Judah first. You walk into work, just like everybody else. They don't want to hear anything you got to say. It ain't doing you no good. Why would they want it? But you walk into work going, hallelujah, glory to God, ain't God good? And they say, wait, didn't the doctor say you had cancer?
Come on.
You're going to get their attention.
That's right.
Now I could launch off right here. One of the reasons I'm saved is because I had an aunt that was saved. And her testimony, when she withered away to nothing, is what turned my life around and others in my family. You know why? Because it made sense to me when everything was going good. Of course, whatever, she's a churchgoer, she's Miss Religious. But when everything was going bad and she still stayed good, when she did like Job, and she said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When she fell on her face and worshiped the Lord like Job in the bad times, it got my attention. It got the attention of others, and that's what this world's looking for. That's how we lift up the Lord. The Bible talks about the fellowship of his suffering. And when we send Judah first, when we praise God in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the struggle, when we go ahead and praise God anyhow, that's when we get the attention of the world. Amen. Praise is never out of order. It's just out of style for a while. The only time it's out of order is when it isn't real. Now, I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about flesh. Flesh, we talked about flesh. Flesh is not a friend. Your ego is not your amigo. Amen. There are people that they'll put on a show. But that ain't Judah. That's Judas. You know where Judas's name came from? Same name. People still name their children Judah, but they don't name him Judas. You know why? Because Judas put on a show. He looked like the others. He did the same things the other ones did, but it wasn't real. And I'm not saying that we should put on a show if it isn't real. If you're not saved, you can't praise the Lord. But if you are saved, you got to.
Amen.
Jesus is our Jubilee. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes.
You say, I thought the devil was a lion. No, the Bible says he walketh about as. He's a copycat.
That's right.
He's a pretender. He likes to walk around like he owns the place, amen, but that ain't the case, amen. Oh, no, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's worthy of our praise. He was first. He was sent first. He was firstborn, amen, in a virgin womb. He came forth first of the resurrection from that empty tomb, amen. He is first, and if we will put him first, he will lead us into what? Victory. Jesus gives us victory. We have victory in Jesus. Jesus gives us liberty, amen. Our liberty is in the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and we have jubilee where the Lord is, because the Lord is our jubilee. Jubilee, amen. The Lord is our jubilee. He is why we shout. He is why we give God the glory, because he is God. And one day, then there in the feast there and all of that with the jubilee, there was a trumpet that was sound. One day another trumpet is going to sound. And we're going to leave the ground. Saints of every nation are going to lose their gravitation. We're going to check out of here through Earth's atmosphere, and we're going to go and be with him. Why? Because he is our Judah, because he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we will rejoice, and we will go to that great jubilee in the sky where we'll no longer have any sin within. Oh, we won't have to raise our hands with a little bit of doubt. We won't have to say, well, I don't know if this is real or not. Oh, no, we will be lifting up our hands and giving him glory. I don't know everything that we're going to sing when we're in heaven. I don't know if we're going to sing Amazing Grace. I don't know if we're going to sing To God Be the Glory, but I know we're going to say this: worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You need to give him glory. I need to give him glory. We need to give him glory because he's worth it.
Amen.
He's worth our praise. So here at the first message on the first night here at Jubilee, we need to put God first.
Amen.
Don't wait and see what it does. Go ahead and give him glory. Go ahead and praise the Lord right now for what he's going to do this month of meetings, amen, in your life, in my life. Go ahead and send Judah first.